Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that new intro, Posh fans. Let's dive right into it now. Today, I am joined by Ashley, Dell, Lods, Max. It's me, Harry. First topic of the day, first topic of the season. Peterborough United have signed two players this week, Sam Hughes and Brandon Keller. I'd like to start with Hughes, familiar face. I know that, Ashley, you have a controversial take on this man.
Yeah, I mentioned it back when we did our retained list, didn't I, in that he strikes me as the person that he's clearly very good at what he does. There's no arguing that. The questions are, did he save our season? I'm not entirely sure. Harry, you did the numbers, didn't you? If we had Sam Hughes for 46 games, we would have gained two extra points. So it wasn't like he gained us an extra 20 points throughout the season or across the season if we were to expand that data set that we've got. It's not anything significant. Look, that group needs a leader. I think that there's a chance that maybe Jed Steer wasn't that leader and that older head. I think that Sam Hughes, it definitely is that man. I just think that initially when I started off the day, like I said, big time struggles. I think that this is us accepting that we're going to be in a relegation battle. I ultimately think that maybe that comment was, I jumped the gun a little bit, but I think that you know what you're getting from Sam Hughes. It's not going to be glamorous. Hopefully that we can develop him further. We know that he improved in his time under Fergie last season. So hopefully we can continue to see those improvements. But he's 28 years old now. We've got him for 3 years. So we sort of know what we're going to get from him over the next 2 to 3 years, I would say.
So again, like Ash, I changed my mind last season. I wanted him to stay 100%. I loved him, superb. And then Ash gave me, you know, Ash brought me down with his comments about he's only ever been in a team that's relegation. And you know what? Maybe this is the first time he can be in a team that's looking for promotion. You know, it may be just a case of circumstances for Sam Hughes. This year, right, he is going to be our leader. He will be our captain. I'm pretty confident of that. This is where I'm made to look stupid, but I'm pretty confident he'll be our captain. I think it's a very good signing. You know, centre-back, bit of experience, knows how to battle when we battle. He's shown it tail end of last season. For me, probably the signing of the season so far. From that point of view, that experience is what we really, really need. So, you know, captain, leader, come on, Sam Hughes, be the man. I'm looking forward to this season already with Sam Hughes at the back with whoever.
Yeah, I'm buzzing with the Hughes signing. I mean, you speak about the impact that he had on our season. I think it was extremely positive. I think without him, we would have got relegated. I don't think his ball playing ability is as bad as what people make out. I think he'll be absolutely fine in our system. I imagine Fergie will probably tinker with it a little bit so that we're not playing on the intricate passes from the back like we used to. But it's his leadership that I'm mostly looking forward to. Like you say, he's guaranteed to be captain, isn't he? He brings that experience. And Fergie spoke about having voices with authority within the squad at the sponsors' brunch the other day for the fixture release. I don't think, like you mentioned, Ashley, I don't think Steer had an authority voice at all. I don't think his personality sort of suits being that leader. Archie Collins is a good leader in terms of professionalism and standards, but again, his voice, I'm not so sure. And our captain, Kyprianou, I don't think he's very authoritative either. So getting these authoritative figures in to the squad is just an absolute bonus for us. And I think Sam Hughes is the perfect person for that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree that last season we absolutely lacked any sort of spine of leaders. And eventually, when it came to the times on the pitch getting tough, the players had nobody to look to. And that was massively difficult. And one of the reasons why I think sometimes when it was bad, it got worse because there was nobody to look to on the pitch. And Fergie mentioned that his voice felt diluted towards the players because it was all that they heard. And that can be taken in one or two ways. It could be taken as on the training ground, he talks a lot, or it could be taken as they had no other leaders to listen to. And he was the only one. And on the pitch, sometimes it can be difficult to constantly look over to the manager when in fact, you just need to be yelled at by one of your peers. So to get Sam Hughes in the door is good. I still am in the agreement. I would have liked to have looked elsewhere. I felt if we were to sign Sam Hughes, I would have rather it had been after we'd explored every other option. However, having said that, I think with a topic we'll talk about later with Manny Fernandez, I think it's going to open the door, isn't it, to looking for another centre-back, because I presume we'll need one. And eventually, we're going to get to the point where actually we're going to have Sam Hughes and a new centre-back playing, would be my hope. And if it is Hughes and Wallin, we saw excellently last season how well Sam Hughes can develop a player. I mean, that 9-game unbeaten streak, Wallin actually looked half decent, really, and looked towards getting on that path to a League One player. That dipped when we were safe, but it's just that level of experience, that level of consistency that we need. And I'm happy as long as we go and look for somebody else, because I don't want Sam Hughes to be our only signing at the back this season. Defence was our biggest struggle, and we need an overhaul in that area. So that would be my opinion. Is that Sam Hughes is fantastic. I love getting the, as Lod said, the authoritative figures in, the spine of leaders we desperately need. We need to go and look for somebody else to play alongside him, or at least strengthen that back line.
Yeah, I do agree if we're looking to be in the top half of the table. But honestly, I think Hughes and Volin are good enough to keep us in League One comfortably. I also think that Hughes, my stock is high, maybe higher than it should be. But having looked into the stats, plus also just reflecting on last season, he is unbelievable aerially. I mean, when I say unbelievable, I mean almost unparalleled in League One, like in the 98th percentile of defenders in the air in League One, and still pretty damn good at everything else. And he clearly got better at passing under Fergie. All these things, I'm hoping with a full preseason, will come to fruition this year, and he ends up being really, really good. And let's not forget, defenders can take till they're 28 to peak. We could be getting his best years now. I'm very excited. Moving on, Brandon Keller. Additionally, we've signed him. Young lad from Birmingham City. Didn't play much for them, but had a decent loan spell at Bradford City. I'd also just like to plug our previous impromptu episode that Ashley did with Phil Ideson of Hard Truth podcast. Phil Ideson is a Bradford fan and gave us a full breakdown into Keller plus more, but let's still discuss him here. Lods, what do you make of the signing, Brandon Keller?
When we make any new signing, I really struggle to sort of have an opinion, because it's such a finger in the air job, isn't it? You could sign like a big name that's done well for their previous club and they end up being rubbish. We could sign a completely unheard of person that's played in non-league and they could just make an instant impact. Looking at what Birmingham and Bradford fans say about him, I think it's a very positive signing. Listening to Ashley's interview with Phil Ideson, again, I feel very positive about it. I wasn't Kiprioni's biggest fan last season. I'll tell you what as well, the highlights reel that the club tweeted out, I don't normally watch them for the same reason. You can make any player look good with a highlights reel. And then the only reason I went back and watched this one in particular is because there was a bit of controversy, wasn't there, about how good the highlights reel was. So I did end up going back and watching it. And look, as far as a highlights reel package goes, most people are only interested in seeing like really good assists and goals, aren't they? And what this highlights reel gave us was just simple passes forward, a few dribbles, the odd tackle. And I can see why people probably think that's a bit, you know, not up to standard. But when I think about it, did Kiprioni play like that for us last season? Because I don't think he did. I think Keller looks a lot more progressive than what Kiprioni has been for us. He gets the ball, he gets his head up, and he looks for passes. He has a great passing range. He was pinging some balls forward. He was playing the simple passes. He was dribbling. He looks really good physically. He looks fast. I think all of these things are much better than what we had with Kiprioni. And the guy's only 20. We've got him for 5 years. I don't like to get excited about new signings, but this one does excite me. I think there's a lot of uptake with him. And I also noticed he's both-footed as well. From that highlights package, he was making some good passes with both his feet. And I don't think either Collins or Kiprioni played many decent passes with their left foot. So in terms of playing Fergie's fast transition football, where you get the ball and you try and get it forward as quick as possible, having access to both your feet could shave a couple of seconds off very easily. I think he is going to be a very good signing for us.
I completely agree. I am very excited. Look, 45 minutes I spent with Phil from Hard Truth, didn't I? And it really energized me into thinking that we've got a good one here. Like you say, is that when we signed Kyprianou, the Orient fans were like, oh, thanks for the 300K. They were absolutely buzzing that we'd actually paid money for him because they thought he was crap, right? And I don't think that Kyprianou was. Kyprianou had a bad season. Kyprianou ran like he looks like he had a parachute on his back for the whole of last season. Clearly, that's worked very well for him after the footage that Watford put out yesterday. But when you talk about the highlight reel lads, the one thing that really did actually excite me, and it came to nothing, is that he played this pass for Birmingham, it was. So I think it was against Shrewsbury, is that he played this pass and it just cut the lines. Two lines. And we said last season that we had this striker, Gustav, that is making these bloody fantastic runs, but nobody's finding him. And I just hope that he is the player that is going to make those defence-splitting passes for Gustav to run onto, and Gustav finds his form and finds putting the ball in the back of the net even more. So I think that there's lots of jigsaw pieces and puzzle pieces that need to be filled in still, but it really does feel like Brandon Keller could be a strong candidate for a very important player for Peterborough United next season.
Yeah, and I completely agree. The narrative has been very positive, hasn't it, for a player that we probably haven't really seen much of. Both Birmingham fans and Bradford City fans alike have been saying how good he is. Rather than talking about Keller repeating the points, I just wanted to quickly praise this new deal system that we have going on. I was over the moon when I saw that we've got him for 5 years. And it was the same with Lisby, it was the same with Frith. Even Sam Hughes for three at his age will have him to, what, 30, 31? To me, it's fantastic to see that players are not going to be able to run down their contracts as quickly. And if, for example, we want to, I presume Sam Hughes's sell will fall anyway because he'll get older. But for example, if Sam Hughes says, look, I'm not going to sign a no deal after 2 years of him, we could sell him and move him on and maybe take a loss inevitably. But we would have the opportunity rather than him running down that contract. It's the same with these plus one deals. And they're really good. We can extend the contract. If they're not good, we can extend the contract anyway and still sell them. So I think that this new system that we have going on is really good. And to have somebody as talented as Keller, as everybody's been saying, is good to have him for that length of time. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to doing and not allowing these players to run down their contracts and leave on free transfers.
You've actually teed me up quite well here, Max, to just briefly mention, I've got a lot of sympathy for Dara and the club for the fact that we've allowed players to leave on frees, because people so easily forget that 2024 and 2025 are 3 years down the line from COVID. We were never, ever going to sign up players for 4 or 5 years at a time when we quite literally didn't have fans in the stadium. At the time that they made that decision to offer a load of players three-year deals, it was absolutely the right thing to do for the club. Yes, it's burnt us a bit now, 3 years downstream from that. But this is now clearly a reversion back to what we always wanted to do, which is to have players for a long period. And there you go. There's my little defence of the club's policy in the post-COVID years.
One thing as well that I'd like to mention that came from Ashley's interview with Phil Hudson. They were speaking about what an ideal partner for Keller would look like. And Phil said that Keller likes to go forward and doesn't like to track back as much. So to have a midfielder next to him that would do all the donkey work. And I think Archie Collins is going to be a great fit for that. And actually what it made me think about was what it would look like for the rest of the team. We know Harley Mills on the left-hand side likes to progress forward. He's a very attacking wing-back. If we're sticking with him next season, we know he's going to be up forward. Keller will play on the right side of the midfield, presumably with Collins on the left. So does that mean that Keller can go forward knowing that Carl Johnston and James Dornelli are probably not as progressive as what Harley Mills is, they'll sit back and will allow the back three in the right back and the two centre backs to always be back. It might be an option for us and solves the issue, particularly with Carl Johnston, about going forward. I don't think James Dornelli is as bad at going forward as what Carl Johnston is, but it's definitely an option for us, getting more players into the space in the final third.
I haven't really got much to say about Brandon Keller. Is that his name?
Well pronounced, Al.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for signing a player that I can actually say. Well done. Good luck, Brandon Keller. All the best.
Super. Moving on, Poku looks like, according to reports, he will be moving to Queen's Park Rangers in the Championship for £900,000 plus add-ons. I think that this means that the Rangers deal is over. Maybe I'll come back to that in a moment. Ashley, what do you think about this deal?
I'm surprised in a football sense. What it does sound like is it's going to ultimately save our season. So I would like to say thank you first and foremost to Kwame Poku for making what I think is a terrible footballing decision in turning down the likes of Birmingham and Swansea as well, and even Rangers, the chance of European football, and he wants to go and play for Queen's Park Rangers. I am just absolutely baffled at this decision. I hope that it's one that's successful. I hope that whatever deal it is that we've managed to agree has a massive sell on, and 2 years down the line, he's had two great seasons at Queen's Park Rangers. But in terms of progressing your career, it's very surprising to me. I think that it's obviously, it's not a backward step, right? And it's still a step forward, but he's missed an opportunity to go three steps forwards and only gone one for me. I think that he's wasted potentially a year or two of his career. And yes, he may be the best player in the Queen's Park Rangers team, but I ultimately think that he's made a bad decision if it is Queen's Park Rangers that he goes to.
I actually think that QPR's what do you call it? Long-term plan, project. I think QPR's project is relatively enticing. I believe they've just got a new manager in, and their team is really shaping up to be something quite interesting. If Poku ends up going there, and you've got the likes of Charlie Kalman returning, obviously you've got Chair there, and players that play further back as well. I actually think maybe not to the extent of Birmingham. I think Poku knows, though, if he goes to Birmingham, there's going to be a very small chance that he plays. Birmingham are moving at a rate of knots, that they have just got so much money in that they can just basically buy who they want. I mean, I think they've just bought Tommy Doyle from Wolves, for example. They can just get who they want, really. If it was for playing time, I actually think QPR is a really attractive project for Poku in the Championship. And I don't think that they're going to be fighting where they have been. This looks to be a really nice sort of restructuring, and probably a really good time for a player like Poku to slot in and really make a name for himself in the Championship. And if he wants to play at the highest level as a player, I'd rather do that than someone like Swansea, who I think are probably moving slightly backwards, and Birmingham, who maybe he wouldn't got a lot of playing time at. Rangers, I can't understand it. It might be for playing time. He might have not got the playing time that he wanted, but to play at the top level of the Scottish Premiership and in Europe, I couldn't really imagine why you turn that down. But in terms of Championship, I actually really like QPR's project for him, and I think he'll probably thrive there and more than he'd thrive at the other two.
The issue is, Max, I've just looked back at Queen's Park Rangers. They have got probably nearly a similar record to Watford of sacking their managers. So I think that over the last 10 years, they've only had two managers that have had longer than a year. Now, a project is longer than 12 months, right? I ultimately think that he has gone to a club that he's going to have a different manager. Same with Kyprianou, really, in that they've gone to clubs where they've got history of sacking their managers. So the project's going to have changed in 6 months' time when the results aren't going their way. If it had gone north of the border and headed up to Scotland and played with Rangers, the best team in Scotland, he's got Russell Martin. They're going to stick with him. Russell Martin is a project. He openly admits that it's 3 to 4 months of hard work and pain and difficult results. But once those 3 to 4 months are out of the way, it's plain sailing, which we saw at Swansea, we saw at MK Dons, I think he was at, and we've seen at Southampton. In he's got track record of putting a good project together up at the clubs that he goes to, and Rangers would be no different.
Let me tell you, having watched the timeline of this, I think the Poku to Rangers deal collapsed at Rangers' end, and I will tell you why. Again, timeline, we're at Wembley playing Birmingham, and Poku is bloody apologising to the Birmingham fans. He looks like he's pretty much signed there. But then over the summer, the Rangers interest comes in and everything goes silent on the Championship side. And now in the last few days, a flurry of clubs are all apparently meeting with Poku's representatives, with Posh, and we've managed to agree a 900k deal. If Rangers were still on the table, there was no way any of this would be happening, because of course Rangers is the biggest option. And for Posh to be able to try and command a fee, the Championship clubs must all think we've got a chance here, which they wouldn't think if he was going to Rangers. I strongly suspect that he'd go to QPR because they've probably offered him the most money. Like, can you imagine what Rangers possibly, if they had conversations, had dangled in front of him? You'd think at least 20 grand a week, maybe even more. And not every Championship club is going to be up at that level, but I bet it's probably set Poku's representatives' expectations higher than it otherwise would have done. I'd just like to say one more thing, by the way, about this deal, right? 900k plus add-ons, which is, as it's reported, is the money. It may be different to that if the reports are wrong, but let's say it's that ballpark. That money will be now. We'll be able to get that money in this summer and use it this summer. If we were to wait for tribunal, I think it's likely that we would get more than that. So we are choosing to get money now over waiting several months for a tribunal to appear. Plus, the tribunal means there is no sell-on. There is no add-ons. And I think Posh is being very smart here from a cash flow perspective and from a potential total value perspective later down the line by sorting out a deal that works for us and forgets about the tribunal. But as I say, I think Poku's lost the Scottish option and he's now probably picked the club in the Championship who's offering the most money.
It's interesting you say that we want the money in now, Harry, because that would imply that it will have some sort of effects on our transfers this summer, I would guess. McAntony came out and said that between Hughes and Keller, he spent around £1 million. I don't think he would have spent that £1 million before Poku was going to QPR. I think he would have waited till that was definitely done and sealed before spending an extra £1 million. So I'm not sure if we will be spending a big chunk. It might not be the full 900,000 or however much we're getting. But I do wonder if we are planning to spend a big chunk of that on various parts of our squad, whether it's another incoming or new contracts for various players over the next couple of weeks. We know that he's going to be talking to the three that are out of contract in the summer at St George's Park. The line from the club is, if you can't get them done at St George's Park, we're going to try and sell them. So it'll be interesting to see what we do with the money and what the squad will look like on day one of the season.
Indeed. And one player who may not be around and who may actually achieve a move to Rangers is Manny Fernandez. Rumours are that Russell Martin is interested in the 6'5" centre-back for Posh. Personally, I mean, scouts must be seeing something that we are not. But Max, you tell me, what do you think? Well, maybe you disagree with me.
If you put a sheet of paper in front of somebody that says Manny Fernandez and then says his height and his elements of his stats, you're going to look at it and think, wow, we've got a real player here. Who started for the majority of this season and played a lot of games. Manny Fernandez is only one that can increase in his ceiling. And I really do think there is a really talented player in there. We saw glimpses this season, very few and far between, I might add. But you look at the game at Wembley as the prime example. He was a monster. I don't think I've seen him perform to that level before. He was absolutely fantastic. And for someone of that caliber to be as tall as he is and as physical as he is and have the composure levels that he does, if he can work on elements of his game that do need massively uplifting, there really is a player there. So I can see why Rangers have probably come in for him when their defensive options are slightly lackluster. He's young, he's exciting, and has the attributes you want at the back. Now, seeing him with my own eyes this season, it's very difficult to justify why now. It seems to me that this is a really rushed move by Rangers, because I think he probably could have done with another year in League One and playing in and around the squad. But I think he has fallen out of favour for Oscar Wallen, if that's the centre-back duo that Darren Ferguson wants to play. So for me, I'd take whatever money Rangers give and I'd run away with it. And I block all the contacts before they ask for a refund if the development process is too long for them. Because I do think there is going to be a very long developmental process time.
Do you know what? Money is a proper frustrating one. You know, if football was played on paper, Max, I would have a fucking career. But it ain't. But I get what you're saying. He is a good... on paper, he looks all right. But anyway, just going back to money, last season... You know, if you want to listen to different pods, I was up about him, I was down about him. He's excellent, he's shit. He's so frustrating. You know, on his day, he'd done very well. You know, let's just go back recently to Wembley, how good he was at Wembley. You know, fantastic. But those type of games are not enough. Maybe going to Rangers with somebody like Russell Martin, who, let's be honest, solid defender, you know, maybe how to teach him then sort of what he needs to do. I can see Manny being a bit like Ricardo Santos. Not very good for us. Ended up having a decent career, to be fair, at Bolton. You know, however much people like him or not, he'd done all right. Once he left Peterborough, he'd done all right. And that happens. Some players don't always fit. So going to Rangers might be a good move for him. That also might mean why Poku ain't going to Rangers, because he'd done another couple of seasons playing in the same team as Manny. Who knows? That's just me speaking out of line, or, you know, or putting two and two together and coming up with five. But no, I think with Manny, he needs work. There's definitely something about him. There is something there. He's got the height, you know, and he can break forward. He just needs a concentration. He just needs to learn how to sort of, you know, tackle properly, and lots of fine tuning with him. But maybe, as I say, maybe Rangers is the ideal fit with a manager who has been a good right back, whatever, who can develop him and you know, get the best out of him. So let him go. I don't care where he goes, to be fair, but I'm just not sure he's right for Peterborough now at the moment. Got Sam Hughes. Let's bring some of the youngsters up. We want to play the football. And, you know, I'm not going to criticise him any more than I already have done, because I do give him praise. But I think it's time to go. Good luck. Let's get a few quid for him. Let's invest some of it into transfers. Let's use some of the money to pay off some of the debts. Let's get Peterborough United back on the map of, you know, the glory days of where we were before, financially okay, and on the pitch okay. So, yeah, cheers, Manny.
I've got a similar opinion to Del. I've so up and down with Manny throughout the season. I felt like I was defending him a lot of the time because Posh fans, I don't think, really warmed to him ever. He has got a lot of inabilities, I think. The biggest one for me is his anticipation. I think he's just so slow to react to things. I think that's why his tackles are often not timed correctly. I think it makes him look slower than what he actually is. He's not got much pace anyway, but because he's already a second behind the attacker, it makes him look even slower. And then people then give him the lazy tag, which I don't think he is lazy. I think it's just literally, he's just too slow. But what I would say about Manny is, obviously physically, he's developed. He's a really good size for a defender. I wouldn't say he's good in the air, but he's definitely dominant in the air. Rangers have got a good corner taker. You're pretty much guaranteed he's going to get five plus goals a season, all competitions, if he's playing every week. He has had a lot of issues in his personal life. And if you think how that's probably affected his development at Posh, that might mean that he is a late bloomer. Del said that he might end up being all right. I think he will. I think whichever club he goes to, I think he will become an established defender. And I think Rangers is probably a good side to go to. Obviously, they're expecting to win every game, but they will be expecting to play very high possession football. I think his passing's actually okay. I think people probably say that he's not great at playing out from the back, but he is, just not compared to what Ronnie and Josh Knight were. So I am sad to see him go, if I'm honest, a little bit. But at the same time, I know there's better out there, and I know that Manny getting a fresh start somewhere else will be a lot more beneficial to him as well.
Yeah, it's like Dell said, isn't it? Is that August and September, Manny was probably our best player, which may come as a surprise. But if teams are watching August and September 2024 Manny, they're probably going, yeah, I would absolutely love a slice of this. But then if they then get to October Manny, where he got sent off at Wickham for basically trying to catch the ball, and then if they then watch February 2025 Manny, where he decided to try and snap somebody's leg, putting my Rangers hat on very briefly, Manny would be an absolute calamity in an Old Firm derby. Like, you just know that he's the guy that they could wind up and he's just going to do something completely stupid, which hopefully, like Lods has mentioned, he can train himself out of, but I'm not entirely sure. So I didn't actually understand this at the time or know this. Apparently Norwich were going to pay $2.5 million for him in January. Are we going to get that? So, yeah, exactly. I read that as an article, £2.5 million total that we were going to get from him. If we can get that again, I would say absolutely. But it clearly looks like we're not going to get that from Rangers. Equally, we know where we are with losing potentially two or three of the players on a free and potentially going into next summer without signing players onto new contracts.
Right, we're getting there. We're going to come to discussing the fixtures at the end. But we'd be remiss not to mention Peterborough United legend Jack Sparks leaving to Bristol Rovers. He's gone on a free, perhaps with some kind of deal behind the scenes on it, perhaps some kind of add-ons or sell-ons. Does anyone think that there's something else going on here, possibly, in terms of what might happen with another deal with Bristol Rovers?
Yes, and I think it's because I'm relatively delusional, is why. I think it's very suspicious that we've given Bristol Rovers Sparks for free with a performance-related package or an add-on package that isn't worded the way that you'd think it'd be worded. Like, usually with a transfer, it's gone, oh, he's gone for free, but we've got add-ons. It was a very weird sort of way to word an add-on package, wasn't it? And that's what I felt on first glance. This would be very interesting if we have given Bristol Rovers Jack Sparks, and we are waiting for some sort of financial package to put together for Connor Taylor, who we have been rumoured for massively this window. It was rumoured earlier at the start of the window that we had an opening bid rejected and then another bid of seven figures rejected. So this could be our new way of bringing that down. Bristol Rovers need a fullback. That is what they needed. Jack Sparks went to Chesterfield and he set the world ablaze. And Chesterfield were in for him. That is true. And I presume Chesterfield would have offered us money for Jack Sparks. That's off a whim. I know that Chesterfield were in for him, however. However, he's gone to Bristol Rovers for no money. And I can't get my head around why. Whether we basically said, because I think we've said multiple times, haven't we, that we don't think Jack Sparks is what, 24 years old, and the best he can do is a League Two club. I can't imagine these add-ons will be sell-ons or makes 50 appearances, get a small amount of money, because in my mind anyway, I don't think Sparks is going to have a lot of stock to invest in for other teams. And maybe it will be like £1 million. And if it's 25%, you know, we get a very small chunk of money. I couldn't imagine that would be what it would be. So there's a level of copium and maybe a level of instincts that maybe this could be the deal that we've been waiting for, or I've been waiting for, especially, which is Connor Taylor, who I can't seem to stop rambling on about. Because it would be so fantastic to sign him. It would show so much ambition to where we want to be. And ultimately, we're signing a centre-back with such a high ceiling. that if we were to get this deal over the line, I would have happily sacrificed Jack Sparks and a lot of money for him. I rate him that highly. I can't see why else this deal would be the way that it is. And I presume the reason why we haven't announced that is because we haven't got the financial capacity yet. But we've sort of agreed in standalone that maybe we're gonna get the money for to build some sort of lucrative package for Bristol Rovers.
Do you know what? I don't want to sit here and be negative, but Sam Hughes is a specialist in keeping teams up and avoiding relegation. I can't get behind, and I know that he has plenty of caliber, but the League One relegation fight last year was absolutely appalling. And Connor Taylor was still in a team that got relegated. Now, if he's as fantastic as he is, surely there would have been something that would have meant that, right, he's going to show something. Like when Bristol Rovers came to Posh, they were the worst team that we played at London Road last season. Confidently can say that. Yes, we absolutely battered Cambridge 6-1 and Blackpool, but Bristol Rovers were terrible. We went to their place and we somehow made them look like world beaters. The issue is that I struggle to get behind a player that it was in a relegated team last year. Like, it's a lot to turn around in the sense that he spent a lot of the season losing. Is he going to be able to come into a team that ultimately wasn't massively successful and help to bring them and make them into a top 12 team? Let's say that, rather than a top 16 team. Is he somebody that's going to do that alongside Sam Hughes? And then you've then got the added point of, well, you've still got Wallin to piece in. You've still got somebody like George Nevitt to piece in. So that if it comes off, I'm sure that we can all get behind him. But I just want to temper expectations at the moment until we've seen him for, let's say, 3-4 months, if it is somebody that we end up signing.
What's interesting is that at the fixtures release brunch, when Darren Ferguson was asked about signing, centre-back was the first position that he mentioned. So I imagine the club are already looking. And I don't know if that means we're waiting for Manny to go and getting that person straight in the door, or whether we're looking for a centre-back as well as Manny, and then when Manny goes, we'll get another one in. Who knows? But what I would say is the only centre-back that we've sort of been linked with is Connor Taylor. So I think everything sort of aligns well to say that we could well end up signing Connor Taylor. But going back to Jack Sparks, I am a bit concerned about the left-back position. If Harley Mills isn't signing a new deal with us and we end up selling him this summer, I don't think Adebisi is going to be good enough to be our starting left-back, to the extent that I would have actually kept Jack Sparks around just in case. I would have rather Jack Sparks to be our starting left-back than Adebisi. We put a video out of Adebisi's recovery. I've not watched it all, but it doesn't look like he's quite there yet. I don't think for the first 6 months of the season, I don't think he's going to have a good enough impact. I think it'd be too much pressure on him. And if we don't have another left back, I think we're going to become a bit stuck in that position. I think it will be a massive weakness for us. I think opposition teams will target that right-hand side and put a lot of pressure on Adebisi. And I think the first half of next season will be too much for him.
All right. We are almost at the end. We should at least talk about the fixtures. I know there'll be some people listening saying we play everyone home and away, but I do think there's some excitement to it. And I personally am delighted that we have Cardiff away on the first game of the season. I also love the Bradford away on Valentine's Day. I've already said to my fiance, will be my wife by that point, that we will that we'll be having a nice picnic in Valley Parade. And I want to hear from you guys. Any other exciting fixtures in here? Any other runs within the season that you think are tasty or worrying? Somebody give it to me. Maybe Dell.
So I just want to point out, you say you'll be married by then, but then she's going to come. That could be divorced by then as well, if you're going to keep going to football without her. You know, I'm allowed to do that, right? It's taken me 20 odd years to get to the point where I am now. So, you know, just bear that in mind. Not 2 months, 20 odd years. Anyway, going back to the fixtures. First game of the season, always like an away day. Couldn't give a shit who it's against. It is against Cardiff. 12:30 kickoff. not ideal, but let's be honest, it could be a 9 o'clock kickoff, and you know, some of us will still be there because we are looking forward to it. It'd probably be better for a 9 o'clock for some of us, or some of you that are coming back on holiday on a Friday night. But anyway, Cardiff away, first game of the season, a tough game. Let's do it. Let's get out of the way. But let's be honest. You know, let's be honest. Wigan, second away game of the season. I need to be there. Okay? I need to get it out of the way. I'm so glad it's towards the start of the season so I can get it done. If for some unknown reason I do not make Wigan away, okay, I ain't going to any more games this season. I'm just ain't doing it. So I need to be there. The fixtures, when you look at them, if I'm honest, it feels more like a Championship league. You know, some of the big teams in there. We're at home. I mean, sorry, away, Cardiff. Then we're sort of home to Luton. It's like, shit, mate. Every game's tough. Whatever way you look at it, every game's tough. The next thing I look at, if I'm honest, is obviously we all look at the Christmas period, but I'll let someone else talk about them. The lack of Tuesday night away days. Historically, Peterborough United, on a Tuesday night, it's the arse end of nowhere. Is that true? Blackpool. It could be, I don't know, Stockport or whatever. This year, so far, the only away games we got in the league, okay, help me out. I know you've got this thing behind you there, Ash. Stevenage is away on a Tuesday, and Barnsley is away on a Tuesday in the league. That's it. The rest are at home. Obviously, we've got either Accrington or Oldham away in the Virtue Trophy, which will be midweek. But from a league point of view, I'm quite impressed. So, yeah, fixture list is what it is. I'm looking forward to it. And are we at home at Christmas as well? Did someone say that?
We are, yes. Back-to-back home games. Let's hope that we can not get 0 points like we did last Christmas. Pretty much, look, like Harry says, we play everybody home and away. I don't want to be that boring guy. What I do is I take this screenshot and I send it to Shannon. And then she replies to me and she says, I don't believe it. We're going away again for her birthday on the 20th of December. We are going to Port Vale for Shannon's birthday. I simply cannot wait. A small village just outside of Stoke for her 31st birthday. What a fantastic way to spend it. I believe that we'll probably do a little bit of bowling, maybe go and get some dinner. And like Harry said, a night out in Bradford for Valentine's. That is what true love is. If it's not Peterborough United, it's everything else that comes with it, right?
Indeed, indeed. Right, we're there. Thank you, everyone. I hope you're excited as much as we are for season two of Up the Poshcast. This has been our first episode. I'm sure by the time we record next time, we'll have even more news, plus some review on our first pre-season game against Leicester City. I have some final shout-outs to do, but actually, before I get there, we've grown over the summer. We've been amazed at how many people have been listening to our summer series and the subscriptions that we've had. Please keep subscribing on YouTube, leaving comments, liking the videos, engaging with us in any way that you can, any way that you want to. It massively helps the channel grow. We're excited for what's coming this season, and we can only do it with you, and we do it for you. This is by the fans, for the fans, this posh fan channel. What other shout outs have I got? Congrats to John, our host, John Verrill, who has got engaged. Please leave him a comment congratulating him. He is not joining us today because he is at Butlins with his fiance. And what a place to take her. He's not actually at Butlins, but I have made my co-host laugh if you're watching on YouTube. And we're going to plug it every time. We have a merch store now on our website. Lods is kindly modeling our Up the Poshcast pin badge. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can just about see it in the 3 pixels that his camera is streaming at. Anything you can purchase, it helps us run the cost of this podcast. We put, honestly, quite a significant amount of our own money into this podcast to make it work. This is really things like the pin badges help us cover our costs. So even if you don't, thank you so much. We will see you on the next one. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.